Here's a quiz for you. Who won the 2002 World Cup of Soccer?
Time running out. Kim Milton-Nielsen looks at the watch and blows it. Brazil are going to the finals.
The winner was Brazil. And if you got that right, do you know which team Brazil beat in the semifinal game to make it to the finals? The tape here is from ESPN, by the way. Well, never mind. If you know any of this, then you probably know more than most Americans do about World Cup soccer. It is the sporting event that every 4 years for 1 month convulses the entire world, except for the United States. Here, World Cup soccer is an event with room for, shall we say, some audience growth. And since the World Cup begins in Germany on Friday, we thought we could offer a cliff notes of sorts to potential World Cup viewers with the help of the editor of a new book, which is called The Thinking Fan's Guide to the World Cup. Matt Weiland, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much. Very glad to be here.
And first of all, we'd like you to share with us some facts about world-class soccer that most people know, but perhaps most Americans don't. Shoot.
Well, Brazil, of course, is the favorite. They've won five times. They feature the player that everyone agrees is the best player in the world, named Ronaldinho. I think he's loved in part because he's an extraordinary player on the ball, but also because he plays with just an incredible sense of joy, smiling even when he makes a mistake. Other teams like Germany, Italy, Argentina are also favored. They've won in the past, but there are lesser-known teams like the Dutch and the Czechs who play really exciting football and are fun to watch and could surprise everyone.
You write in the preface to The Thinking Fan's Guide to the World Cup that the style of soccer that's played really varies according to the country. And indeed, the World Cup is a wonderful occasion to indulge in complete stereotypes of nations through the kind of soccer they play.
That's right. One of the pleasures of watching the World Cup is that nations really are different. And the fact is, a lot of the stereotypes are true. The Germans really are dogged and play boring soccer. And the South Americans can be impetuous. So that's one of the best parts of watching international games is teams really are true to their national temperament.
Now, you're of a generation for whom soccer growing up was a natural part of life in the United States. A big eye-opener for you?
Absolutely. I grew up in Minnesota, and Minnesota can seem very far from the rest of the world. And I think soccer opened my eyes a bit to other countries. And there was a team in my hometown, the Minnesota Kicks, who were excellent. And part of the reason they were so good was they had brought in players from other parts of the world. There was my real hero, a man named Ace Netzelenge, who was a black South African midfielder, who, somewhat like Ronaldinho now, was just a joy to watch. Now, I confess, I didn't realize as an 8 or 9 year old boy why a black South African soccer player would be playing so far from home at the time. I didn't know much about apartheid in 1978, but I like to think that following him and getting interested in soccer around the world, I found out why in time.
So let's look ahead to the first match of this year's World Cup, Germany-Costa Rica. For somebody who is a complete soccer idiot and they're stuck in a room with soccer fans, give us a couple of suggestions of something that a person might say while watching Germany and Costa Rica that might pass for something knowledgeable and smart about football.
Well, on the soccer side of things, you could say that Germany as the host is the great favorite. They've won three times before. If they win once again, it'll put them second only to Brazil. Costa Rica, on the other hand, is far from the favorite. They've only appeared twice in the World Cup before. But by the same token, you could contrast them quite apart from soccer. Germany's military record is widely known. What may be less known is that Costa Rica is the only country in the world without a professional army.
Well, Matt Weiland, thank you very much for talking.
Thanks
with
so
us
much for having me.
Matt Weiland is the co-editor, along with Sean Wilsey, of the essay collection The Thinking Fan's Guide to the World Cup. It includes statistics about the 32 nations in the Cup and a special feature, a list that reminds us that referees are human, too. The World Cup refs include a Mexican economist, a tax inspector from Benin, an Egyptian Air Force major, and a concert pianist from Germany. The first World Cup game kicks off this Friday in Munich.